This is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Our program is designed for people learning English. We speak slowly, using simple grammar and a limited vocabulary. Today on the program, Ashley Thompson reports on a new member of the Sesame Street family. Then, Dan Friedel tells about a group of helpful high school graduates. Later, on Ask a Teacher, Alice Bryant answers a question about prepositions from an English learner in Taiwan. And we close the show with the Learning English program, American Stories. Shep O'Neill reads the final part of Edgar Rice Burroughs, A Princess of Mars. But first, Zaila Avant-Garde is her name. Maria is the word. The 14-year-old girl from Harvey, Louisiana, twirled and jumped after correctly spelling Maria to become the first African-American winner in the 96-year history of the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Zaila said she knew Black children were watching her and dreaming of following the same path. She even thought of Magnolia Cox, the first Black finalist at the 1936 competition. Cox was not permitted to stay in the same hotel as the rest of the spellers because of her skin color. The competition has long been a setting for spellers from South Asian families. Up to now, the only Black winner was also the only champion from outside the United States, Jody Ann Maxwell of Jamaica, in 1998. And Zaila's win breaks a line of at least one South Asian winner every year since 2008. I'm hoping that within the next few years, I can see a little bit of an influx of African Americans. And not many Hispanic people either, so I'm hoping to see them there too. She has described spelling as something she does on the side, although she regularly practiced for 7 hours a day. She is also a star basketball player who holds 3 Guinness World Records for dribbling several balls at one time. She hopes to play someday in the Women's National Basketball Association. Many of the top spellers started competing at a young age, but Zaila started just 2 years ago. On Thursday night, she said, she knew all the words, including Maria, which means a genus of tropical, Asiatic, and Australian trees. Only one word gave her any real trouble, Nepeta, a kind of old-world mint plant, and she jumped even higher when she got that one right than she did when she won the competition. The spelling bee was different from any that came before because of the coronavirus pandemic. Only spellers' close family members could attend. Normally, hundreds of fans and former spellers watch the bee in person. This year, the bee was moved to Florida, and only the top 11 spellers competed in person. 5 of the 11 finalists were gone after the first set of questions. And Zaila became the champion in just under 2 hours. Zaila will take home more than $50,000 in cash and prizes. On Friday morning, former U.S. President Barack Obama congratulated the new champion on Twitter. He wrote, "Three Guinness World Records and now the National Spelling Bee Champ. Congrats, Saila. Your hard work is paying off. We're all proud of you."
There are 13 graduates this year from Islesboro Central, a small high school on an island near the U.S. state of Maine. Most of them live on Islesboro, which has a year-round population of about 700. The school's graduating class usually takes a trip to a faraway country to celebrate. The 2021 class was considering a visit to Greece or South Korea. The students did jobs around the small island to raise money for their travel costs. They earned about $8,000 from their work. But when it looked like international travel would be difficult because of COVID-19, they considered a trip within the U.S. In the end, they went nowhere. Instead, the students decided to donate their money to help their neighbors on Islesboro. They gave $5,000 to the Island Community Fund, an aid group on Islesboro. The students said they had seen many people on the island dealing with job losses and financial problems after the coronavirus health crisis struck. It would have seemed, in student Leifa Temple's words, weird and definitely wrong for them to take the traditional trip when people were suffering. The money helped islanders feed their families and meet other needs. It felt really good to do that with our money, to give it back to the people who gave it to us, Temple said. It was a good feeling for the Island Community Fund as well. Fred Thomas is the president. Their decision demonstrated an awareness of the hardship in their community and a willingness to do something about it, he said of the young people. The students also gave some money to help pay unexpected costs for the island's vaccination operations. The students got a kick out of giving money so their teachers could get the jab. The students still have some money left. They are thinking about what to do with it. Olivia Britton is one of the students. She said, "It seemed obvious to give the money back to the people living on the island." Britton's mother, Megan, is a doctor. She said, "People sometimes criticize young people, but this really flies in the face of that." I'm Dan Friedel.
The children's television series Sesame Street is welcoming a new lovable character for its 52nd season. The new character is a white and brown puppy. The young dog is named Tango. She gets adopted by the young red Muppet, Elmo. Kay Wilson Stallings is an executive vice president at Sesame Workshop, the nonprofit organization behind Sesame Street. She said the show's creators wanted to explore that special bond between children and pets by introducing this new character. Tango will join Sesame Street's 52nd season as both an animated character and a live-action Muppet. The new season will air this autumn on HBO Max and on PBS Kids next year. Tango will be introduced in a 30-minute animated special called Furry Friends Forever, Elmo Gets a Puppy. The televised special will air on the HBO Max channel in the United States on August 5th. Tango is Elmo's second pet. He has been caring for a fish named Dorothy for several years. "He's done quite well taking care of his goldfish," Wilson Stallings said of Elmo. "We thought he's been successful with taking care of Dorothy and that this could be the next step in his development." The show's writers had plans to introduce a pet on Sesame Street even before the COVID-19 pandemic began. During the pandemic, animal adoptions have risen sharply in the United States. Now, Sesame Workshop hopes Tango can help show children of different ages how to help with the care and feeding of new family pets. "The timing of it is perfect," said Wilson Stallings. Details about Tango have been carefully considered. The show's producers talked at length about what the dog should look like. They decided to make Tango a female mixed-breed dog. "She could be a little of anything. Anybody that has a pet might see a little of their pet within Tango," Wilson Stallings said. Tango will remain a puppy, just like Elmo stays 3.5 years old. Wilson Stallings said, "Right now, we're just really focusing on that relationship between she and Elmo, as she gets to become more familiar with all the rest of the characters on Sesame Street." Sesame Street co-productions have aired in over 70 languages in more than 150 countries worldwide. I'm Ashley Thompson.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question from Jane in Taiwan about two similar prepositions. Here is the question. Dear VOA, I'm writing to ask a question about the differences between at the corner and on the corner. Thanks for your help. Hello, Jane. We are happy to help. Corners can be found in many spaces and places, inside and out. There are corners on boxes, for example, as well as on tables, in rooms, in parks, and on streets. There are even corners on a piece of paper. To answer your question today, I will focus on streets. When we are talking about the corner of a street, both on and at are used in American English. Listen to these two examples of how they might be used. She is waiting at the corner. The man stands on the corner every morning. When the names of the streets are not included, the more common choice for many Americans seems to be on. Now, let's suppose you wanted to be more specific. if you specify the streets where someone or something is located or where something happens, the preposition at is common. Listen to these examples. Let's meet at the corner of Pike Street and East Broadway. A bridge collapsed at the corner of Kenilworth Avenue and Polk Street Northeast. The word on would also be acceptable in both examples. But in the second example, it could mean that a bridge above the street corner collapsed onto it. However, in general, American English speakers use either preposition when discussing street corners. For many people, this is often just a matter of personal choice. And that's Ask a Teacher for this week. I'm Alice Bryant.
Now it's time for Our American Story. Here is Shep O'Neill.
The huge green warrior Tars Tarkas came slowly toward me with his thin sword. I backed away. I did not want to fight him. I did not wish his death. He had been as kind to me as a green Martian can be. As I stood watching him, a rifle fired in the distance. Then another and another. Tars Tarkas and his warriors were under attack from another tribe of green warriors. Within seconds, a terrible battle raged. As I watched, three of the attackers fell on Tars Tarkas. He killed one and was fighting with the other two when he slipped and fell. I ran to his aid, swinging my sword. He was on his feet. Shoulder to shoulder, we fought against the attackers. They finally withdrew after an hour of fierce fighting.
John Carter, I think I understand the meaning of the word friend. You saved my life when I was about to take yours. From this day, you are no longer a captive among our people, but a leader and great warrior among us.
There was a smile on his face. Once again, he took off a metal band from his arm and gave it to me.
I have a question for you, John Carter. I understand why you took the Red Woman with you. But why did Sola leave her people and go with you?
She did not want to see me or the princess harmed. She does not like the great games held by your people where captives are led to die. She knows if she is caught, she too will die in the games. She told me she hates the games because her mother died there.
What? How could she know her mother?
She told me her mother was killed in the games because she had hidden the egg that produced her. Her mother hid Sola among other children before she was captured. Sola said she was a kind woman, not like others of your tribe. Tars Tarkas grew angry as I was speaking, but I could see past his anger. I could see pain in his eyes. I immediately knew Sola's great secret.
I have a question for you, Tars Tarkas. Did you know Sola's mother?
Yes, and if I could have, I would have prevented her death. I know this story to be true. I have always known the woman who died in those games had a child. I never knew the child. I do now. Sola is also my child.
For 3 days, we followed the trail left by the Princess Deja Torres, Sola, and poor, ugly Wula. At last, we could see them in the distance. Their animal could no longer be ridden. They were talking. When we came near, Wula turned to fight us. I slowly walked to him with my hand out. Sola was standing nearby. She was armed and prepared to fight. The princess was lying next to her feet. Sola, what is wrong with the princess?
She has been crying much these past few days, John Carter. We believed you died so we could escape. The thought of your death was very heavy on this woman, my friend Deja Thoris. Come and tell her you are among the living. Perhaps that will stop her crying.
I walked to where the Princess Deja Thoris was lying on the ground. She looked at me with eyes that were red from crying. Princess, you are no longer in danger. Tars Tarkas has come with me as a friend. He and his warriors will help to see you safely home. And Sola, I would have you greet your father, Tars Tarkas, a great leader among your people. Your secret no longer means death to anyone. He already knows you are his daughter. The two of you have nothing to fear. Sola turned and looked at Tars Tarkas. She held out her hand. He took it. It was a new beginning for them.
I know our world has never before seen anyone like you, John Carter. Can it be that all Earthmen are like you? I was alone, a stranger, hunted, threatened. Yet you would freely give your life to save me. You come to me now with a tribe of green warriors who offer their friendship. You are no longer a captive, but wear the medal of great rank among their people. No man has ever done this.
Princess, I have done many strange things in my life, many things much smarter men would not have done. And now, before my courage fails, I would ask you to be mine in marriage. She smiled at me for a moment, and then her dark eyes flashed in the evening light.
You have no need of your courage, John Carter, because you already knew the answer before you asked the question.
Several days later, we reached the city of Helium. At first, the red men of Helium thought we were an attacking army. But they soon saw their princess. We were greeted with great joy. Tars Tarkas and his green warriors caused the greatest excitement. This huge group of green warriors entered the city as friends and allies. I soon met Tardos Mors, the grandfather of Deja Thoris. He tried several times to thank me for saving the life of the princess, but tears filled his eyes, and he could not speak. For 9 years, I served in the government and fought in the armies of Helium as a prince of the royal family. It was a happy time. The Princess Deja Thoris and I were expecting a child. Then, one day, a soldier returned from a long flight. When he landed, he hurried to the great meeting room. Tardos Mors met with the soldier and reported that every creature on the planet had but 3 days to live. He said the great machines that produced the atmosphere on the planet had stopped producing oxygen. He said no one knew why this had happened, but there was nothing that could be done. The air grew thin within a day. Many people could do nothing but sleep. I watched as my princess was slowly dying. I had to try something. I could still move with great difficulty. I went to our airport and chose a fast aircraft. I flew as fast as I could to the building that produced the atmosphere of the planet. Workers were trying to enter. I tried to help. With a great effort, I opened a hole. I grew very weak. I asked one of the workers if he could start the engines. He said he would try. I fell asleep on the ground. It was dark when I opened my eyes again. My clothing felt stiff and strange. I sat up. I could see light from an opening. I walked outside. The land looked strange to me. I looked up to the sky and saw the red planet Mars. I was once again on Earth in the desert of Arizona. I cried out with deep emotion. Did the worker reach the machines to renew the atmosphere? Did the air reach the people of that planet in time to save them? Was my Princess Deja Thoris alive, or did she lie cold in death? For 10 years now, I have watched the night sky, looking for an answer. I believe she and our child are waiting there for me. Something tells me that I shall soon know.
That's our show. But we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, with another Learning English program on the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Katie Weaver.